Get Married and Save the World, A Guide to Christian Marriage, The Witness of the Family, and Restoring the World. That is the title and then subtitle of a new book by a man who calls himself Ordinary Brother, but I happen to know what his real name is, which is Thomas Ackerman. I'm Jerry Newcomb. This is Vocal Point, and Thomas, or Ordinary Brother, thank you so much for joining us on the program. Thank you.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Newcomb. I'm really excited to be here.
Sure. All right. Now, first question is, why did you choose to write this book? I'm going to start this way.
Sure.
With that pseudonym, Ordinary Brother, as opposed to just putting your own name.
Okay. Great question. You know, sure, that the pen name is not to hide my identity, because I do give my name in the about the author section. I call myself Ordinary Brother, really because I believe we've reached a state in the church when there's so much falsehood and bad doctrine coming from ministers and ministries that sometimes it can be better to hear preaching from an ordinary brother, an ordinary Christian brother, which I consider myself to be.
Hmm. Okay. And then why did you write the book specifically on the issue of marriage and how important that is in the Christian witness?
Okay. You mind if I take a little while on answering that?
No, that's fine. I'll just go ahead and sit down. You wax
sure.
eloquent.
You know, I wrote the book in large part from what I have seen over time in the churches, with friends, in ministries that I have worked for or participated in, seeing the unfaithfulness to God in marriage, personal friends who have been deeply misled, often by pastors, Christians who ignore the roles that God gave to men and women, men who will not lead with authority, women who do not submit to their husbands, an epidemic of Christian women who abandon the calling of the home for careers, and then they teach their daughters to do the same. I wrote it because of Christian friends I personally know who tear their marriages apart. They take on new husbands, and they take new wives, which is wicked. God calls divorce violence, and he calls remarriage adultery. But they do all of these things shamelessly, and their pastors only encourage them. And marriage is an unbreakable bond for life, and the church needs to repent of these things, and this has been on my mind for years. The immediate spark, however, the immediate spark that really convicted me in my heart that I needed to sit down and write a book as soon as I could, was a student of mine that I was teaching in a Christian academy. He got a girl pregnant outside of wedlock. It didn't look at all like they were going to get married, although I guess they must have heard something about that because, you know, they have Christian parents and they're in a Christian environment. Anyway, I went to this young man and I told him what God desires of us about the purpose and the good that comes from marriage. And I told him this world doesn't need any more wealthy men or highly educated men or popular men. It just needs righteous men. And this young man responded very well. I mean, he said thank you, and he shook my hand. Literally days later, he was asking me questions about, you know, how do you give a ring to a woman? What kind of a ring should I get? And he was planning then to propose to the girl. And believe me, I was incredibly happy. I was on my knees praising God, although I know these things are uncertain. And I didn't know all the influences on this young man. But the last that I have heard of this situation is that one of the parents prevented this marriage from happening. He proposed to the girl. One of the parents prevented it, at least for the time being. And this greatly saddens me. It makes me sick. This young man was prepared to do the right thing, and an adult Christian stopped him. So I write this book. I write the book for him, for the young woman, and for the little baby girl. And, you know, there are others like them out there in the community who would be willing to do what is right if they really heard the truth and saw people acting on it. If they heard it from parents and brothers and sisters in Christ and ministers, they would be willing to act on it. And I want him and others to be able to hear the truth about marriage clearly and boldly, and then to hear it strongly defended against all of the lies and attacks. And that's what I've tried to do.
All right. By the way, already one-third of this whole program is already over, but let's focus on the issue of covenant for a moment. Marriage is a type of covenant, and it's not good to break the covenant.
Absolutely. Marriage is a covenant for life. the Bible is clear on that. What ends the marriage covenant is death. Mark 10 says, both in reference to the husband and the wife, that to take another spouse is adultery. Luke 16:18 speaks of the sender away, the spouse who sends the other away, and also the one who is sent away, and they both commit adultery if they remarry. 1 Corinthians 7, you know, gives us options if you are separated from your spouse, and it says you either remain single or you reconcile with your spouse. And those are the two choices. Christians who decide to live with a second husband or second wife are living in adultery, and they need to repent of that. That means stop doing it.
I noticed one thing in the book. You quote the church fathers sometimes, including St. Augustine.
Yes, I do, especially on this subject, because on the subject of the lifelong and unbreakable nature of marriage, they wrote a great deal about this, and it seems the overwhelming majority of the church fathers are clear on the fact that if one spouse is separated or divorced, you know, to take another would be remarriage. And in fact, they were faced with members of their churches who had those situations, and they told them very plainly what they had to do, which was to remain single. And they understood how hard that was. They understood that was a great sacrifice. They understood temptation, but they teach that truth uncompromisingly.
All right. There's a great deal of, I mean, this culture just promotes sex outside of marriage everywhere. I mean, I remember reading a statistic from the American Family Association, and this is from the late 80s, and they were saying that, I believe it was something like 88% of all sexual relations referred to on television, primetime television, are out of the context of marriage.
Right.
88%, something like that. And that's a long time ago. It's only gotten worse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I lived my life as an unbeliever for many years. I was an unbeliever until my early 30s. I speak a little bit about my past life in the book, tell some stories about my past life and my present born-again life. And I have seen that, and I really try to point out in my book the goodness in God's way, the goodness that is there in marriage, in the family, in children, in holiness, and because I can speak very personally about the destruction in the other way, the destruction in fornication, the destruction in tearing apart marriages. There is such an incredible difference. And I really emphasize a number of times in the book, and I think this is key, that God's way is good. God's way for us, his law for us is good, and it's life and it's peace.
One statement that Paul makes in 1 Corinthians 7, he says, it is better to marry than to burn, as in to burn with lust.
Yes, absolutely. I do speak about that. I speak about that passage in a couple of different chapters regarding a couple of different situations. But yeah, it's absolutely appropriate here, because that is one of the purposes of marriage, is that it abates that lust. It, you know, protects the world from someone who might have under overabundant desires, practice lust and fornication. The safe place for sexual desire is in marriage, and then it transforms and becomes something good and beautiful for us all. It produces children, which God desires. It produces children who will be raised up in the church in the knowledge and admonition of Christ, and it unifies the husband and wife into, you know, a beautiful picture of Christ and the church, and that is the right place for it. And, you know, it sounds to a lot of ears that teaching by Paul is, you know, incredibly practical, because so many people think of marriage in terms purely of a very high-minded ideal of love. But, you know, marrying to avoid lust is not too low-minded for God. As I say in the book, it is a very important goal.
God says in Malachi, I hate divorce. Your comment?
God hates divorce. I speak about that scripture in the beginning early on in my chapter on the lifelong nature of marriage, and even clearly under the old covenant under Moses, where, you know, as Jesus points out, God accommodates to it for a time under Moses. Clearly, his overall attitude is that divorce is wicked. It's that he compares it to an act of violence and bloodshed. And Jesus brings us back to God's true intention. God's true intention is that marriage is for life, to become one flesh. And, you know, not to get too philosophical about it, but I think it's incredibly appropriate that in the new covenant that marriage is for life and is unbreakable, you know, because it's in that new covenant in which salvation is realized in Christ in the church. It's also in that new covenant where we now have a clear picture of the Holy Trinity, of Father, Son, and Spirit, and their eternal perfect love. So there's something so right about the fact that the new covenant marriage is an unbreakable lifelong bond at the same time as we receive salvation and come to know about the nature of God.
All right, let me ask you this. What would you say in reference to wife beating? And I know that the exception should never define what the rules are. But I know there are contexts, some situations. I knew of a woman who was trying to be very Christian in every way she could, and her husband kept, you know, beating her up, and it, you know, and she, mm-hmm. I think she was just a study in long suffering, and then she finally got to the point where she realized, you know, her life was at risk, mm-hmm. and the life of the child, you know, their children were at risk, and so that did end up in divorce.
Okay, this subject does, you know, the subject of severe abuse, like someone who is punching up and doing great violence to their spouse, really comes up when you do speak about the lifelong nature of marriage. But I don't think it is such a very difficult situation to understand biblically. If a spouse, I guess typically it's the woman, but not always, if a spouse really feels that they're under great danger to health and life, there's nothing to prevent them from physically separating to protect themselves. But, you know, even in this, I don't see any clear reason that would call for a legal divorce, or certainly not for remarriage, which is adultery with someone else. If you have to physically separate for your safety, for your own protection, fine, but then you remain celibate for the Lord and you pray for that person. And, you know, the facts are sometimes those people do change and sometimes they don't.
I think you described a situation where somebody had a breakdown in their relationship, and then later the one person didn't ever remarry or whatever, and that the couple was able to get back together, and it was a better situation. I've interviewed somebody like that, by the way, once, and there actually was abuse where the man was beating his wife and so mm-hmm. forth, and then they actually broke down, they divorced, etc. And then God changed that man, and then he and his wife were able to remarry. I remember that story. I did a story about that years ago for D. James Kennedy Ministries. But go ahead.
Yeah, really,
we have 1 minute to summarize.
Yeah. Okay, great. To summarize?
Yeah.
Okay, would you like me to speak about the book in general?
Yeah.
Sure, absolutely. The book, Get Married and Save the World, really is meant to be a guide to marriage, a guide to biblical marriage rooted in the Bible. And I devote one chapter in the book to each of the main elements: the headship of the man, the wife's submission, the role of the homemaker, the lifelong nature of marriage, the necessity of bearing and educating children, and the free sharing of physical intimacy. So it's meant to be reasonably comprehensive and rooted in the Bible, and each one is rooted straight in Scripture. I also include a personal gospel presentation towards the end, and a number of other learning resources so the reader can continue to read on these subjects in various articles and ministries.
All right, xulonpress.com, xulonpress.com for more information. 15 seconds remain. A closing thought. Have you gotten good feedback on the book?
Yes, I have. I've heard from friends and from ministers that I've either sold it to or lent it to, and they have told me that it helped them. One friend in particular who's a minister told me it really gave him encouragement about getting married. He's not yet married. Like a lot of people, he sees the damage that's out there, and he felt it gave him encouragement about the future of finding a godly wife.
Oh, super. Thomas Ackerman, thank you so much. Get married and save the world. God bless you.
Thank you, Mr. Newcomb.
Okay, thank you now. Bye-bye.